I'm sure at some stage in your life, you've been on a treasure hunt. You know, one of those where the first set of clues have to be found, and then you have to interpret what those clues mean, and that might give you the direction of where to look, where to go next on your hunt. And so it goes through the great adventure of finding all of these different clues in order to reach the prize at the end of the day. I think the author of the Gospel of John has something like this in mind. He begins by laying out these strategic signs that he indicates along the way. We get the first of these at the very end of our gospel today, when he tells us this was the first of the signs. A couple of chapters later, there's the story of a healing of a paralytic, and John tells us this was the second of the signs. But that's the end of the breadcrumbs that John gives. He's hoping that he's already activated within us this desire to begin to understand that what is happening in the life and ministry of Jesus are this series of signs pointing to Jesus, but beyond him to the reality of what he's bringing together as he's offering his life, teaching, serving, sharing, inviting us into this fullness. John is a very careful author. I mean, most of our biblical scriptures are, in fact, beautifully crafted, deep reflections. But John, as the last of the Gospels to be written, was able to draw upon this slow meditation. He had the other Gospels to read and reflect upon. And in so many ways, he doesn't retell the story. He knows we've got those other Gospels to read and to ponder. So he gives us a different understanding. He tells us events in a different order because his purpose is to point the way, to remind us of what is at stake here. It's interesting, the very next story that he tells, that after Jesus does this sign at the wedding in Cana, we're told he goes back into Galilee for a few days and then makes his way down to Jerusalem. And there he cleanses the temple. He gets rid of all of those things that are there as part of religious life, but don't actually add to that full expression, to the full experience. So it seems that John is wanting to set up this contrast between the things that we take for granted, the water at the wedding, the rituals that are there in the life of the temple, and this absolute abundance that God is wanting to share with us, this abundance of water transformed, that its water is good, like it provides satiation for our thirst. It gives us that essence of what we need for life. And you know, I love water. I'm always drinking water through the day. But John's saying, yes, water is good, but there's more than just mere existence. There's this abundance of the Holy Spirit, this gift of God's abundant life. And so John is inviting us into this reflection. He's inviting us to make a choice, essentially. Will we go on the journey with him? Will we undertake this hunt, this delight to find these hidden treasures, to experience this fullness of life? Or will we be content with the life that we've always known? Will we just subsist and subside in what we have experienced in the past and say, well, that's just the things we've always done. That's the way it's always happened. Or will we allow God to invite us into this new moment, into this encounter with the wonder of the living God? Will we let his call inebriate us? Will we let his call begin to bring within us this bubbling forth of life and energy and goodness? I suspect that for some of us, particularly during these last 2 years, we felt a little bit like the exiles that the prophet Isaiah writes to and addresses in our first reading, that we felt that we had been abandoned, that we felt that our land was nothing now, that our lives had been dried up and shriveled away. But God says, no, that is not your reality. He says, about Zion, I will not be silent. About Jerusalem, I will not rest. Because God is wanting to invite us and call us back into that original purpose and plan that he had for our lives. not the water of ordinary life, this new life. And so he's saying, even though you feel abandoned, even though you feel that there's nothing in your life, in God's image, in God's understanding, you are in fact my delight. That God is wanting to wed us. God is wanting to restore us and to renew us within that fullness of life that we find at a wedding. We're meant to celebrate. We're meant to live our lives in this absolute fullness, this absolute joy and wonder. And so John is inviting us into this encounter and this experience with Jesus. As simple as this sign is revealed, you know, it's as simple as Mary recognizing the need and pointing it out to Jesus, saying, look, there is no wine. And then Mary has this absolute trust to say to the servants, just do whatever he tells you. If only we could do the same. If only we could be caught up in that moment of trust and exaltation to be able to say to ourselves, just do whatever Jesus tells us. As a church, as a community, to be that people that responds with such fidelity to the Word of God, to ponder it, to let it do its work of slowly moving away in our hearts, slowly softening those cracked and hard edges, slowly taking away all of those lies that tell us that we're abandoned, that tell us that our lives are falling apart, to remind us that no, we are the ones in whom God delights. We are the ones that God wants to pour forth his Holy Spirit, that he wants to give that joy and the energy that wine provides. That we're meant not for the boring and the ordinary rituals and regulations and rules and all of the stuff that we fill our lives with. We're meant for this fullness. We're meant to encounter the living God. We're meant to be people who are caught up in the wonder and the mystery of God. Today, we have that choice. Will we stay with the water, or will we let God, in his absolute abundance, wash us and pour out his life and his gift of the Holy Spirit upon us? Will we receive this new wine? Will we delight in the fact that God indeed has saved the best to last? Will we let God do his work in us and fill us with his love, renew us with the joy and the wonder that God has prepared for us from the very beginning?